And I need to start off with a survey, and even you guys up in the balcony. You ready? Now you see your hand. I got two questions. You don't have to answer the second question because it may make you feel guilty. First question, this is easy. This is a softball. How many of you have ever been to the doctor? Come on, I need to see hands. Every hand should be erased. All right, good job. You can put them down. Second question, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you have been to the doctor in the last year? Now, you don't have to raise your hand. All of those that have been, they're saying, me. You need to go to the doctor, your annual checkup. You know when you do, you got to fill out like 80 pages of paper. You finally get past the nurse. The doctor comes in. One of the first questions he's going to ask you, stick out your what? Your tongue. What's up with that? By looking at your tongue, he can tell you what's going on inside of you. The color of your tongue, the coating of your tongue, the swelling of your tongue. If there's sores on your tongue, he says, stick out your tongue. Because he wants to see what's going on the inside of you. Jesus said the same thing, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says, as my grandpa put it, what's down in the well going to come up in the bucket. So I'm asking you this morning, if we were to examine every word you spoke for the last 7 days, how's your tongue? You know, your tongue is a lot like your heart. It's almost all a muscle. Your heart goes through routine contractions that you have absolutely no control over. But your tongue, you control it completely. It's a muscle, but you control your tongue. My question is, have you been controlling it? Or has the devil been controlling it? Dentists tell us the dirtiest part of your body, your mouth and your tongue. Now I'm going to tick off all the ladies. On average, men, you say 20,000 words a day. Ladies, let's just say you say significantly more than 20,000 words a day. My question, not how many words you say, is the Holy Spirit governing your tongue? Three truths this morning to turn your greatest liability into your greatest asset. James says, if you can control your tongue by the power of the Holy Spirit, you control your whole body. Sermon I've entitled, Holy Communication. First truth there on your outline, notice the harm of foolish words. Proverbs 12, verse 18, look what it says. There is that speaketh. No person is identified here. Anyone is capable of being this person. So a Sunday school teacher that was proclaiming the word this morning could be this person on the way home from church. The godly spouse, the loving husband, the faithful Christian. No one is immune. Look what the verse says. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. When you think about a sword, let me give you three things. Swords lacerate. They cut. They cut deeply. Words do the same. Parents, you may forget your words that you said to your children. They may not. You'll never amount to anything. Why can't you just act like your brother? You're just like your father. The sarcasm, the mockery, the belittling. Every word is another cut and another cut. And another cut. Swords, they lacerate. Swords, they separate. after being wounded, when you see this person coming again, you're going to say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not getting close to that person to let him do his damage again. Children, stop talking. Spouses, stop sharing. Families begin to live under the same room, but they're miles apart emotionally. People speak less and are more cautious with their words because they might get a reaction that cuts them to the core. Many homes, they don't suffer from lack of conversation. They suffer for unsafe conversation. So if we have the video in your living room all week this week, would we see healthy conversation, affirming conversation, or harmful conversation that's tearing people down? Now listen, I'm not here to beat you up. All of us have been, or will be, or did this sin, and it is a sin. So the blood of Jesus covers all of our sins, but you got to repent. God, my mouth is a filth shop. I hurt people with my tongue. I repent of my sin, and I'm going to ask you to help me. Hey, swords separate. Swords lacerate. Let me give you another one. Swords escalate. Anger grows because harsh words demand retaliation. You poke me in the eye, I'm going to poke you back. You say something mean about me, I'm going to say something mean about your mama. Harsh words invite another harsh word. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. You should try this when your spouse or your coworker is coming at you yelling and screaming this week. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So when they're coming and they're yelling and they're screaming, say, I'm sorry. Just talk softly. And notice how the temperature of the conversation goes down. Now, if you've been here for more than 2 weeks, you know one thing that Neil Jackson doesn't like, hates. I got an awful picture they're going to put on the screen. It's of this thing that I hate, not dislike, hate. Boys, put it up there. Now you look at that snake. You see that forked tongue? He's always sticking it out there because he's trying to get the temperature of the room and find out where his predators or his preys are. I don't like snakes. I don't even looking at that picture. You look. Satan came in the Garden of Eden, not as an angel of light, as a serpent. See, I got biblical grounds for hating snakes. I don't care what colors it is. I don't care what. I don't like snakes in the Garden of Eden. He didn't bite Eve. He spoke to her. It wasn't the venom that killed her. It was his words. Hath God said. So before we go to point two, before we go to point three, let's just confess. God, my tongue has not been used to build people up as you would like this week. It's been used too much to tear people down and to criticize and complain and be negative. So forgive me. I need some Jesus in my tongue. Amen? Number two, the harm of foolish words. Number two, the health of wise words. Look at the last part of the verse. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Contrast here is remarkable. Not merely pleasant words. Your words can be healthy words. You look up at that word in the original, carries the picture of healing, restoration. Wise words don't ignore sin, but wise words restore people from their sin. Foolish words, they tear you down. Wise words, they build you up. Think about it. Healthy homes should be encouraging homes. Children need encouragement. Teenagers need affirmation. Spouses. Tracy's been keeping grandkids all weekend. Spouses need appreciation. Parents, teenagers, parents need gratification. Thank you, Mama, for cooking this meal and washing my nasty socks. Thank you. Gratification. Hey, here's what you'll find. Words, they don't cost you anything, but they sure can help you. If you'll go around and just speak life into somebody, this verse, speak health into somebody. Hey, I want to speak the name of Jesus over people. How do you do it? Going and speaking life into them. Speaking encouragement unto them. Now, all of you know what a greenhouse is. Plants grow healthy in a greenhouse because the environment is conducive for those plants and those vegetables and those fruits to grow healthy. That's what your home's supposed to be like. It's supposed to be an environment where your kids are not beaten down, your kids are built up. And it starts when they're one. Don't say, oh, this kid is an animal. No. Speak life into that kid. That kid's going to change the world. He's got determination. You have power in your words. Healthy homes, they build identity. Children become what they repeatedly hear spoken to them. Instead of saying, you'll never amount to, why don't you just determine before God? God has gifted you. Speak life into those kids. Speak life into those grandkids. Hey, you say, I don't get them all the time. Hey, as much as you do, speak Jesus into them. But be careful with your words that you're not wounding them. You're healing them. I'm proud of your effort. Let's learn from this mistake. Correction should never destroy your child's identity. Do your children need correction? Oh, yes, they do. But they need to be restored and given hope after the correction. Healthy homes, they build identity. Healthy homes, they speak the truth in love. Healing words are not dishonest words, where you just say, I'm not going to tell my child or my spouse or that they don't have a problem. No. You speak the truth, but you do it in a loving manner. Not to tear down, to build up. How are you doing with this? Says of Jesus, he was full of grace and truth. If it's just truth, you're going to inflict pain. If it's just love, you're just codifying their sin. He spoke the truth in love. Best example I know of healing words, 2 Samuel chapter 9. You don't have to turn there. David and Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, you will remember, was the grandson of King Saul. He was summoned to the palace of King David. He's nervous. In this time period, when a new dynasty came on the scene, they would destroy all of the offspring of the previous dynasty. David summons Mephibosheth to the palace. He's nervous. He's fretting. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8. He, Mephibosheth, bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such as a dead dog as I am. Notice how he describes himself. He didn't say, hey, I'm crippled. He didn't say, I'm forgotten. He didn't say, I'm unfortunate. He called himself a dead dog. That's identity. Some of us have been scarred, and there have been lids put on our heads. Oh, you'll never do this. You'll never amount to this. How is David going to respond to old Mephibosheth? Look at chapter 9, verse 7. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake. I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. David did not just give him land. He gave him belonging. He did not just restore his inheritance. No, he restored his dignity. He did not just change his address. No, he changed his identity. Here's crippled Mephibosheth sitting at the king's table. And he doesn't say, you know what? I'm a dead dog. No, he says, I used to be a dead dog, but the king has made me a part of his family. Because King David spoke life into him. Fathers, you have power and you have wealth in your tongue. Speak life into those kids. Remember in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all bless their kids. How do they do it? With their words. Speak life. Hey, mama, don't nag those kids to death. Praise them to death. My grandpa said, you get more bees with honey than you do with a stick. Never try catching bees with a stick, but I don't think it works very well. Number two, the health of wise words. Let me give you one more. The hope of graceful words. Look at verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever. Truth builds. Truth establishes. The word established means stable, firm, dependable. Over years, truthful speech builds lasting credibility. Your children believe what you consistently tell them. If you're telling them, I love you. If you're telling them, no, your parents are praying for you. No, God has big plans for you. You can't live your life in fear. You got to live your life in faith. You know what? Your kids are going to grow up to believe in, I got a big God. And God is going to help me to do what we just sang about. I was made for more. Not to tend some grave. No. I'm here in this generation. My great-great-grandpa is gone. But he's left me in the power of Jesus' name. Because somebody's affirming them. Somebody's speaking life into them. Notice the last part of the verse. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. Wisdom speaks intentionally. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? This is what I'm going to speak into my children. With love. Wisdom. Listen to this. Ladies, I love you. Wisdom speaks less. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, let every man, you see that it means person, but for the illustration, let's just say man. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak. See that last one? Slow to wrath. Many family conflicts aren't communication problems. They're listening problems. Where you just don't shut your mouth and listen. the hope of grace-filled or graceful words. Let me give you another verse. This is the one I want you to write down today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I want you to live out this verse all week. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. That means complaining. That means arguing. That means, come on boys, cussing. No corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Lady, your husband's probably going to leave his socks in the middle of the floor this week like he has the last every week since y'all got married. Look at this verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Honey, thank you for picking up your socks 1 out of 7 days this week. I appreciate it. Build them up. You can do this, sir. Pick up your socks. Listen to what it says. When you use your words to edify, that it may minister grace, help, strength unto the hearers. Grace changes the tone of the conversation. A lot of it's about tone. You can say one thing with one tone, say the exact same thing with a different tone, and it goes a whole lot further. Husbands, does your wife feel safer after talking to you? Or do they feel smaller? Do they feel less confident or more confident? Ma'am, do your words build confidence in your husband? Or do you just remind him of all of his failures? Parents, your children, will they remember your voice as a voice of grace or a voice of frustration? One of my favorite people in Scripture is the guy by the name of Barnabas. His nickname was Encourager or Son of Encouragement. When people were in his presence, they always left feeling better. He just had a way to go into any scenario and to speak life, speak grace, speak encouragement unto them. Are you an encourager? The healthiest homes are those where every member of that home knows I'm loved here. I'm accepted here when I make the right decisions and when I make the wrong decisions. I'm going to hear truth here, but I'm always going to find grace here. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And this week, have you been killing with your tongue, or have you been given life with your tongue? Here's the invitation. God, forgive me. All of us could have a whole lot more grace in our mouth. God, forgive me for letting corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. This week, I'm going to use my words to build up, to edify, to strengthen all of those people that I come in contact with. I'm not asking for a year, not asking you for a month. I'm asking you for a week. Here's a contrast. Billy Graham. Thank God for the legacy of Billy Graham. Wasn't perfect, like none of us are perfect. But you know what? He used his gifts, his ability, his tongue to go all over the world and to give life. To speak of eternal life. Hey, we're all fallen. He spoke the truth in love. But Jesus made a way. And he went around the world speaking life. Contrast. Adolf Hitler went around destroying. Went around speaking death into people and destroyed a country, almost destroyed our world. This week, which one are you going to model the most? The destroyer or the healer? Maybe one more and I'll close out. All of you know what this is, right? Toothpaste. Thank God for toothpaste because, as I already said, your mouth is nasty. One of the dirtiest parts of your body. Toothpaste. You take this lip off, take that little shiny silvery thing off. And you know what? The custodians are getting nervous right now. Whatever you squeeze out is gone. He said, no. I'm going to scoop it back in there. I'm going to get it up with my finger. You squeeze it. And side note, always squeeze from the bottom. Don't always squeeze it in the middle. It makes OCD people go crazy. Go from the bottom. That's free. Listen, some of you know I'm weird. Your words are just like that. You'll never get them back. Speak life. You say, well, my kids are 65. It would do wonders for your kids that are 65 to get a phone call and say, boy, I don't say it enough, but your dad is proud of you. You say, well, I got grandkids, and they don't understand. Oh, yeah, they do. Get on the floor and play with them and say, your grandma loves you, and I got some homemade biscuits in the oven just for you, and we're not going to tell your mama. Your words. You're never going to get them back. Speak life.